This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yo, what up?
Do you remember the classic physiques? Like the old school bodybuilders of the golden era, like in Venice Beach in the 70s.
Yeah, like Frank Zane and Perigno and Arnold and Draper and all those guys.
Yeah, 50 years on, and we're still looking at those guys as a gold standard. And you know what's crazy? They didn't have creatine, pre-workout, fat burners, like a lot of the other popular supplements you see today. But one supplement, I did not know this, they all used was desiccated liver. Because it's packed with amino acids for muscle growth, vitamins and minerals for health and immunity, but it's also proven to cause a huge increase in red blood cells, which means you recover quicker, have more endurance, and get better pumps. That is why I consider it a must for all these iconic bodybuilders. Our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition have just added desiccated liver from grass-fed cows to their world-class supplement lineup, but they've also gone a step further and introduced Essential Alpha, a grass-fed beef organ complex. Pound for pound, beef organs are the most nutritious food available, particularly for active men. That's a shoot, because liver is the healthiest thing you can eat. And Legacy believes in celebrating masculinity and maximizing male potential. Legacy, as you know, is owned and operated by Nick on probation, Aldis. And let me tell you, I talked to him about this, and he is super excited to finally be able to bring this to the market. And they've been working on the formula for a while, and he's been really singing the praises of this stuff. And can you ever think of a time when he wasn't ever in shape? I mean, if you're looking for a perfect supplement to help you build muscle, have more energy, and boost your immune system, and bring out your inner alpha, then you need to try Essential Alpha. Available right now at LegacySubs.com, and always use the code K100. Gets you 10% off and to help support this show. That's LegacySubs.com, and use the code K100 at checkout. And I'm a big fan of liver, and I'm definitely going to start using this product.
The great thing about Legacy Subs, which... And boy, they've been with us that long because people keep buying their shit. Or if not, they wouldn't be throwing no ads on our show. People like their products. We, all of us, use their products. They have everything. Anything that you can imagine, the list is too long. But anything to help you with your brain power, pre-workout, protein drinks. I mean, they, from the A to the Z. And the great thing for the females out there, they have a supplement line just for females, which is curated by his wife, Mickey James. So check either one of them out, you know. Get your supplements on Legacy Subs. Boom.
All right, let's get to the mailbag.
Yep.
Max Nardi, the subject is possible side gig for Disco. Occasionally because of work, Disco mentioned he simply doesn't have the time to watch every match on every wrestling program. Understandable. Working at Sapphire is supposed to be great, but I'm wondering if Disco has ever considered the possibility of part-time streaming to boost his income even further. With the potential for it to become his main gig alongside podcasting. Below is an example of some of the content I'd like to see Disco to try his hand at. Not necessarily a suggestion, but just throwing it out there.
Would you like to see his...
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. He's got pinky... Yeah, it's like TikTok stuff. Let's suspend this guy.
If it's not good, let's suspend him.
No, we are suspending him. He's already making fun of him. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, yeah. Do you want to take a look at this, Conan?
Let me see.
His Conan, yeah. Go ahead and put it up. Actually, because that girl...
You got me feeling like a cowgirl. Let me read it, huh? Hee-haw, yes. You got me feeling like a cowgirl. Let me read it, huh? Gang, gang. Gang, gang. Gang, gang. Ice cream so good. Gang, gang. Gang, gang. Yes, yes, yes. Gang, gang. Gang, gang.
What is this?
Ice cream so good.
This is the content that a guy thinks that I should like to be doing.
I'm watching the upper left corner, and her likes have jumped 3,000 in the last 20 seconds.
Really?
That's fucking crazy.
Because she's hot.
TikTok's a weird app, you know? I don't know how that works. Right. So. All right. Yeah, who was that we suspended? Max Nardi.
I forgot to tell you, Joe.
Max Nardi, yeah. Yes, sir.
Gang, gang. Gang, gang. All right. Nothing.
Woo!
All right, so I'm going to read you two emails, okay? First one's from Sean Burgess. Subject is, Meltzer finally beginning to get caught out. What does caught out mean? I think it means called out.
Yeah.
Caught right. out. Hi, gents. I hope you're all well. As a very casual wrestling fan, I've never heard of Meltzer until I started listening to K100. And I'm a day one listener, by the way. The more I hear his comments and the absolute tripe he talks about star ratings, etc., the more I think the bloke is just a scam artist. Having seemingly been able to get away with it for so many years and make a fortune out of it, it feels to me more like more and more people are becoming vocal to the bullshit of his ratings and bias. There's absolutely no problem with him being biased and favoring certain promotions, but surely then demotes you to being just a fan, your credibility has to be zero. There's no doubt in his knowledge and memory of the industry, and he can be great as a wrestling historian. However, the Chris Van Fleet interview demolishes credibility as a critic, in my opinion. I guess the question around this is, do you think Meltzer's coming to the end of his time as a credible wrestling source? Keep on keeping 100. That's cheers, Sean from the UK. And the next one is from J12. Subject is Meltzer, Chris Van Fleet. Hey guys, Meltzer was recently a guest on Chris Van Fleet's show, was grilled about his star ratings. He ended the interview with Chris with pleasantries, then proceeds to bury the interview behind his paywall. Well, I did not know this. Why does he not want anyone to even question his rating system without getting offended? Screenshot below. This is from Dave's paywall. This is interesting. When you were listening to that interview, Conan, did Van Fleet sound very respectful?
Yes.
Okay. So Dave says, I hated the interview. Part of the problem was, this is from Dave. Part of the problem was I did about 45 minutes after my son's dog died. And to his credit, Chris said, maybe we should do it another time, but I just want to get my mind off it. But it was a bad decision. My mind was not there at all. Plus, all of a sudden, I'm wasting time on quarter-star differences in matches from more than a decade ago, which is so ridiculous. If we're within one star, it means we agree, and it's just a stupid discussion after that point.
Salty.
does that sound like Salty Dave, Cody?
Yeah, Surly Dave, which is my favorite.
Dave did not like the way he came across, because I guarantee he read the comment. Everybody's commented on it because he didn't. Cody, you should go listen to it, too.
This is what I'm thinking, right? And you know, I like Dave a lot as a person, everything. Mm-hmm. I respect him. I think that he's so used to being put over that when he isn't being put over, he gets kind of defensive, because he's known as the, you know, whatever the grand wizard of fucking wrestling or whatever, the, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's the go-to guy. And yeah. I think sometimes, he probably people started to write, bro, you didn't look good in the interview, or maybe heard it back and he said, fuck, I didn't look good in this interview. Obviously, I haven't heard the whole thing, but you're saying it was especially the stuff before we heard it was really good. So I'll go back and listen to it. Mm-hmm. But that's probably what I'm thinking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when I read, I love reading The Observer because it keeps me up to date, but I never read his reviews because they're too long and too fucking
right.
What's
like
the
like
word?
Any like any wrestling, like the reason when I do our show reviews, I don't read all the reviews of the matches word for word, which these guys do.
Yeah, you don't go, oh,
I can't, right.
No, they block the suplex.
Right. So the reviews are way longer if you read them, obviously.
So I don't want to read all of that. Right. So what I used to do before, back in the day, and I'm talking 20 years ago, is if I would see something was 4 stars or more, I'd usually watch it because it usually was good, you know? Right. And if it ever hit 5 stars, I'd watch it for sure. But nowadays, I don't really care about going out of my way to watch any match unless it's something so ridiculous where somebody goes, oh, you got to watch this. You know what I'm saying? But that's what it looks like to me. That's what it looks like to me.
Perfect example. This past weekend, Dave said that the, what was it, Collision, that the FTR match against Juice and Jay White was the best tag team match in the history of American television, right? And I would be like, you know, if I read that, you know, I missed it, let me go check that out. I'm just like, bro, they went 60 minutes. There's no way. I'm like, what? Like, with all the stuff that we do, I work, we watch the shows, we do, like, there's no way I can find an hour to watch that. Like, it's just not going to happen. You know, it's like, so that, you know, I don't know. Like it said, it's just hard. It's hard to, the match has to be like really, 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 really good for me to spend the time in it. And it can't be more than 15 minutes, you know?
Here's the thing with AEW is that it's kind of a promotion for hardcores. They over-deliver to them, and the fans, they pay them back by buying all their products and buying tickets. But it's like, dude, you're not doing as good as you used to. Isn't that telling you need to draw different types of fans and more fans? You just can't stay with what you have. It's, you know, it's been good enough to carry you for 3 or 4 years, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know,
they're not doing well, and you're hearing how great the matches still are. And say, like, then you would just sit there and say, okay, well, your base still loves the work, but you're not drawing any new fans. So, like, you need to, like, there needs to be a little bit of give and take here. You know, FTR and Jay White, that's great. They went, but then that's the one thing with booking. It's like, as fans of wrestling and you like to watch all the matches, when you hear about this, the greatest match ever in the history of television, but like, as a booker, it's like, dude, it's like, you know, you came up with, you know, your creative for me tonight is like, I got to go out there and do like 4 weeks worth of wrestling in one night. And it's like, as a performer, it's like, maybe, I'd be like, Jesus Christ, guys, dude, like, we're going 60.
Yeah, but
that's what I mean.
But here's
what would Raven say, right?
But here's the thing. Those guys like FTR and Jay White and was it Juice Robinson? Mm-hmm. That they like that type of shit, bro. They like to wrestle long matches and really physical and breaking and pop finishes and Japan style. And they like the people putting them over and saying, hey, man, great job. And, you know, hey, that's part of their job to put on a good performance. I can't watch a 1 hour match. You know, no way.
And plus two, I would sit there and, you know, bro, there's a lot of guys from our generation, you know, tons of guys that would say to creatives, like, dude, I'm not going an hour. I'm not in shape for an hour. I'm not saying, you know, think about that. Like, if you say, hey, you're going an hour, it's like, I'm not going an hour. And what would the management do?
Yeah,
like, to the time, they change it.
This is what I'm thinking. One of two. Either they came up with idea and Tony said, cool. Or Tony said, hey, do you guys think what do you think about doing a 60-minute match? They said, cool.
Right.
Tony doesn't seem to me like the type of guy that will make you do something you don't want.
But he probably went to the presenter and they're like, yeah, they were very enthusiastic, but like, the level of enthusiasm you would see in our locker room for that would be minimal at best, right?
Yeah. Nobody wants to wrestle an hour, right?
Right, because you get hurt. You know, that's a lot of you get exhausted out there and shit, you know? Who knows? Conan, guess what?
What up?
Another perfect product for summertime.
Right.
We're in the thick of summer, and you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, F-A-C-T-O-R, is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. So meal prep is like the thing these days. You skip the grocery store and you get fresh, never frozen, ready-to-eat food in 2 minutes. Meal prep is a great way to reach your fitness goals. So meal prep is the thing these days. Basically, if you want to skip the grocery store, you get fresh, never frozen, ready-to-eat meals in 2 minutes with Factor. So meal prep is a great way to reach your fitness goals, okay? And they give you fresh food prepared by chefs, stuff like, you know, broccoli, asparagus, leeks. And there's 34 restaurant-quality options. Meals like bruschetta shrimp risotto, steakhouse filet mignon. And it also caters to any type of diet that you have. It's very important. They have a calorie smart options, which are under 500 calories. They have keto options, which I'm a big fan of. They have vegan, vegetarian options, and protein plus options with over 30 plus grams of protein per order. All right. You can also mix them up. You can add some proteins with your vegan order if you want to. And also they have like over 40 snacks that you can try and breakfast options like apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites. And they also have assorted juices, shakes, and smoothies. It's got everything. Let me give you a perfect example. Tons of girls at work use Factor, and all of them are getting in shape. I look at these girls that they come into work all the time, like they've lost weight in the summertime. I go, what are you doing? They say intermittent fasting and Factor meals. They're meal prepping. That's the easiest way to stay on point with your diet is meal prep, and Factor meals is the perfect option for it. So with Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for the production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in the meals. So this July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. They're not frozen, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Take them and throw them away. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. It's that easy. So head to factormeals.com/K150. That's Factor Meals at K10050, and they're giving you 50% off. You have to try this at 50% off. That's code K150 at factormeals.com/K150 to get 50% off. You have to give this a try. If you're having trouble dieting, if you're having trouble meal prepping, try Factor Meals. Very effective.
Right. And we got sent just to try it, and I thought it was great. So I ordered some more. I'm a big fan of the short ribs, and they have a really good chicken teriyaki and beef and cheese enchilada. You can choose, you know what I'm saying? So been tried by all of us. We all like it. I don't know. What do you like there, Joe?
Well, it's funny that you said steak, because the one that I tried was the Grilled Steakhouse Filet, and that was very, you know, it was almost restaurant-like good. I was really, really surprised. It didn't taste like something.
That's the main thing. You can tell the difference in the quality. Sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It didn't taste like something that you just heated up at home. You know, it tasted freshly made and all that.
So, you know, we're always looking out for you, whether it's your health. Stay healthy, and this is a great way to do it. And you can get it at Factor Meals. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Okay, this is from Jason Turbo. We already discussed this, but the subject is Don Callis. Hey, guys. Good to be here after somehow surviving that bloodbath in a suit in the Discord. Oh, by the way, let's discuss that real quick. So remember I told you guys, Joe, that I couldn't get into the Discord, right?
Yep.
Okay, so here was the problem, and I'll show you guys this. Let me see here. So, like, how come I can't log out of this? Okay, I can log out. Okay, so I'm logging out. All right. Oh, well, it's so weird now. Okay, so when I had this, all right, now you see where it says register, and underneath that it says login?
Yeah.
Okay, when I had it, like, on this screen, all you could see was register. Okay, mm-hmm. So then I literally went on Twitter, and I went to the Discord Twitter site, and I said, hey, I can't, how am I supposed to log in? I did the screenshot. They said, toggle your phone for sideways. And then when I did it sideways, the login showed up.
Oh.
And I was like, guys, like, that's like common sense. Why don't you just like, and it looks like they've changed it since I sent them that DM. Right? So it's like they literally changed the thing, because the register was all you could see. Then you toggled and then the login would come out. But I went into Discord this week and they're calling it, Joe, what is the tone in the Discord after what I did this week? And explain to Conan what I did in the Discord.
Oh, I think Disco suspended, what, 6 to 8 people?
I think it's been 5 guys.
I suspended five guys.
Yeah. So the tone was of shock. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. It's because some of them were burying me and saying I should be suspended and stuff So I suspended all them. And some of the people that got upset about suspended got increased suspensions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one guy was like, they got increased suspension. He was like, well, it looks like I'm going to be, I gave him 6 months, right? And he said, it looks like I'm going to be, I'm going to be out of suspension for my birthday. So I went back and made it 7 months. So now the guy's not even going to be able to celebrate his birthday. Do you like that, Conan?
I did like that.
Okay. So my question is about Don Callis. There have been a lot of reports online, but from Conan's perspective, what went down after Triple Mania with Don Callis and the fan? The video doesn't look that bad, but Alvarez make it seem like he had to get medical treatment. Thanks, and that's from Jason Turpin. P.S. That Saints fan that wrote it needs to lay off the flock of bath salts and paint thinner. Bro, your team is nothing but bad contracts with zero coaching. Go Panthers.
He did require medical attention, but go on.
What type of medical attention did he require?
Well, I told you, he got his lip busted and he sprained his ankle.
So is he having to go to rehabilitate? Is he suing AAA?
I hope not.
Would you put him on the would you support me if I put him on the Disco list?
He's already on it.
He's already on the list. Okay. Next is from Alex Figueroa, somebody's quarterback. Hello, team. Recently been watching.
You could make a new thing called the Golden Corner, where you cannot get out even if you apologize for at least 1 year. We could, you know, bring a new wing to the. To the Disco list, if you like.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex Figueroa writes, subject quarterback. Hello, team. Recently been watching Quarterback, the series on Netflix. The series follows Mahomes' cousin and Mariota through last year's season. After 2 episodes, I can say that Mahomes' wife comes out at hell of annoying. Thoughts on the series? Well, I'm not watching it, but, P.S., Don Callis lost major cool points by being attacked by what he would call a mark.
You meant major cool points?
Major cool points, I guess. So supposedly the whole thing about Mahomes' wife, like, people on Twitter have been blistering her for a while, and his brother. And his brother got arrested for sexual assault or something like that. Did you see that?
Nah.
No.
Yeah, his brother. Joe, look it up. Pat Mahomes' brother arrested. And it's on video, too.
Well, when you talk about Mahomes, did you see that golf tournament they had with, like, the celebrities?
Yeah, Seth Curry's hole in one.
Did you? I know, I couldn't. Did you see him running down the fucking thing.
So excited.
Like, yeah, it was incredible.
That's not good golf etiquette, obviously. Right?
But that was great. It was different.
It was great. And then he hit an eagle to win it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, Jesus Christ. I guess Easton
Axel. Real quick to wrap that up. It's 3 counts of aggravated sexual battery, 1 count of battery. He's just Patrick's brother. He doesn't do anything because he looks like a big motherfucker.
Well, he's a social media guy that's annoying.
He's a tall kid.
And I think that
doesn't give any information on the sex of the complainant. But
that was a girl. So
was it? Okay. All right.
So next is from I know that you guys Easton Axwell, and the subject is Justice for Ava Rain. I know that you guys don't watch NXT, but recently Ava Rain has become a total target for all the critics. They bash her for being green, for seeming nervous on live TV, and not being great at promos. Isn't that kind of the entirety of NXT? So they can learn how to get better?
Yeah, it's The Rock's daughter, Conan.
Also, Ava Rain is the daughter of The Rock. Do you people really expect her debut and instantly be as good as The Rock? What do you guys think of the people who really seem to have a problem with her? Also, Billy Body getting into a Twitter war with JD from New York is a new level of cringe for him. Did you see what happened to JD in New York this weekend, Joe?
Sort of. He...
Yeah, he was burying
about, he complained about Shotzi taking her hair off. And,
yeah, he goes, that's a Vince McMahon thing. Why is she shaving her hair? Like, it's pointless.
And it turned out her sister had cancer. And that's why
she wanted to do it.
Right?
Yeah, because Borash, that was a good vignette, by the way. Borash produced that. So he had told me about that. So next is from...
What do you think about Ava Raine and the people coming after her? I mean, she had to figure that. I'm sure she was warned to expect some backlash from the audience coming
in. The Rock wasn't that good when he started, you know? So obviously these fans are just trolls, you know?
Well, that's why Roman got it. That's why Roman got it for so long, too, because he was, like, anointed, you know?
Yeah. Conan, guess what?
What's up?
It's time to unleash the beach beast within you. Oh. Know what that means? It means this summer, Manscaped is here to help you level up your beach game with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. They're going past waist deep in the grooming game and diving in headfirst to your facial hair fantasy. The Beard Hedger is a game changer, allowing you to shape your beard like a true beach babe. So this summer, let the beach balls bounce and turn heads all over the place. Visit manscaped.com and use the code K100 for 20% off and free shipping. So here's the deal. It's time to tame your mane. Okay, a lot of people have trouble with facial hair. They don't like to shave. So why not go for it and let's try the beard. Say goodbye to all the stubble trouble with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. First off, this cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. You don't have to have all the guards and everything, right? And a million products. You don't even have to worry about that, right? It's plus it's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid all that hair in the sink. And the titanium-coated T-blade is tough in the hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. And it doesn't end there, because they've created four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, okay? First, there is the beard shampoo and conditioner that comes with this. And you remember, all your hair is different. Your beard hair is more coarse and easier to damage than the hair on your head, obviously. And that's why the kit has made shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replace natural oils and promote beard health. Next, the kit has Manscaped Beard Oil. This helps relieve dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine. And cap off the kit with the Beard Balm, a pomade that shapes, styles, moisturizes, and tames for a sculpted look to attract any fellas or dames. Look, with all these products, if you don't have an on-point beard after a few weeks, that's got to be on you. Because the Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts, a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. And you know, this is the year 2023. Beards are in. The chicks like beards, but they don't like sloppy, ugly beards. They like well-groomed beards. So get 20% off and free ship with code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code K100. That's the Manscaped Beard Hedger, one stroke, one guard, and 20 lengths at manscaped.com.
Yeah, this is our best-selling product, and there's a reason why. It's high quality and it works. Now they've got everything from, I can guarantee you, these are the most comfortable briefs, boxers that you'll ever wear. Incredible. You wouldn't think that, you know, a shaving company would come up with something this sweet, but they did. And they've got everything from deodorant, the motherfucking the weed whacker for your hair and for your nose hairs and your ears. They got shampoo. They got conditioner. They got a body wash. I mean, they got everything so you can feel fresh, be clean, smell good. They even got cologne. I mean, these guys just bring it. And they got a really sweet leather toiletry bag that doesn't look cheap or look like you can bring it to you when you travel or stay over somewhere. It's just, you know, top of the line any way you cut it. So, you know, keep your groom on, you know, look clean, look presentable, smell clean for job interviews, just to go out in public. I know that's a big issue with wrestling fans, that their hygiene is not that great. This can help you. Go check out Manscaped. Boom.
Next is from Garth F. Killing Machine. And subject is Waller proves that WWE doesn't need MJF. Joe, oh my God, this first sentence might be kazoo. Joe made a great point about 2 weeks ago when he said the MJF versus Adam Cole storyline isn't working simply because everyone on Earth can see the finish. One turns against the other to set up a match for the pay-per-view. MJF is a hot topic in the IWC simply because the backlash is growing weekly. People are finding his act to be stale. His cheap heat is more eye-rolling than people get than people talking, etc. And the whole WWE wants me stuff just reeks of attention seeking. On the other hand, Grayson Waller started making waves at WWE. He's younger, doesn't get a seven-figure salary like MJF, and his finisher is so effing cool-looking that I bet it will be viral enough soon enough. It'll be the new RKO. So to wrap up my question, why does WWE need MJF when they have Grayson Waller? It's like that's a
I don't I just you know question. Do you know what his finisher is?
It's that thing where he pulls like himself
and then he curb stomps. But it
is that what it is? It
doesn't look that cool to me. I don't know.
What do you think Does WWE need MJF now because they have Grayson Waller?
Well, I think that if first of all, because the guy was saying that people are getting tired of him talking about WWE, but that's Tony's fault. He should tell him not to say it anymore. You know, if he signed a contract and he is going to stay there, he's probably thinking, oh, this is getting heat. But I think I feel the same way. Bro, quit bringing it up all the time. I know that it got heat at the beginning, but now it's kind of worn out. It's welcome. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't see as much MJF criticism as some of our emailers seem to think there is. I only hear about it in our emails, really.
And here's another thing. I like Grayson Waller. If I had to choose between Grayson Waller and MJF, I'd get MJF.
And I think I was mistaken because now there's a second finisher and it's where he does a roll into a stunner kind of thing.
Yeah.
It says you're Rolling Thunder Stunner. I don't know if that's what he's still using or what.
And next is from Uncle Usher. The subject is New Golden Era. I'd really like to hear the opinions from Conan, Disco, and Joe on this growing opinion online. Are we experiencing a new golden era in WWE? When's the last time they had so many wrestlers that are genuinely over? Their fans lose their minds whenever Reigns, LA Knight, Cody, Owens, Judgment Day, Sami Zayn, and I'm sure you guys can name a bunch more whenever they appear. Shows are selling out. A lot of merch is being sold. Ratings are, in this day and age, doing well, and they're making more money than ever. Shows are generally effing awesome, etc. Are we in the middle of a new golden era of WWE, but the fans have become so accustomed to shitting all over everything they're not even noticing it? Love your show, guys. I'm happy to see how you're having so much success with it. No, they're killing it right now, and the quality of their pay-per-views is at an all-time high because of the production values are just through the roof. And, like, here we are. You know, let's do this. Joe, try to find this while we're doing the show. I want to see their numbers, okay? From the time Bad Bunny and Logan Paul first appeared, and I want to go forward to now and see what that metric is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're talking about like, drawing fans and drawing people, they brought those guys in to draw. And I want to see if that worked because it does look like if you're using like all the metrics, everything, I think they're part of the equation. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yep.
Yeah. So look that up while we're doing this. Next is from also Garrison. Subject is Lashley's new crew. Hey guys, on SmackDown last week, it seems as Bobby Lashley was teasing formation of faction with the Street Profits. I don't hate that. They're all great wrestlers. None of them have been doing much for a while now. But in this day and age, do you think that a faction of all black guys is going to cause some IWC outrage? Everyone knows that it's only racist when WWE says something. Everywhere else is just good booking. Dude, that's pretty stupid because the Hurt Business was together and there was no – that wasn't even mentioned. So I don't know why he thinks this would be mentioned. So that was pretty dumb.
What's going on with the IWC with the Lashley and these guys is racist and MJF is a shit?
What? Some fans are just, I don't know. Like, you draw a lot of weird people in this business. next is from Andrew Lee and the subject is AEW Collision. By the way, I want to talk about this real quick. So I did tweet this. Bert, have you seen the new Snow White movie?
Come on, really? You think I watch Snow White?
Okay, this big
they dicked it all up, yeah.
Okay, so instead of seven dwarves, okay, it's like seven inclusive characters. So now, and because Peter Dinklage, like a while back, had said that he doesn't want to be stigmatized. So in their mind, because Peter Dinklage says it's like we're not going to stigmatize guys, but literally it's like people that like there's a lot of outrage for this because the most marginalized community, because they have one of the actors on, one of the dwarfs, he's like, dude, these are like the roles that we're supposed to play. It's like we're dwarves. We don't get the George Clooney spots. He's like, so I was like, this is so stupid. It's like they took the single most marginalized community in Hollywood, dwarves and midgets, or little people, whatever we call them, and stuff like that, and they replaced all of their characters with other inclusive figures, with other inclusive characters. That's like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it's not Snow White and the Seven Dwarves anymore. They like rewrote the what whole is thing. It? Snow White.
That's it.
They changed how the sisters treat her or something too. Like they changed the whole deal.
And literally, like everybody's going, like, how, why would you do that to the dwarves? It's like the story is Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. If we wrote this and replaced the dwarves with other inclusive characters, that's like.
Well, that's like we were talking last week a little bit about Disney's recent box office failures, and it's just going to continue as they continue down this path. Nobody really wants to see old stories torn up and rebuilt to fit this woke narrative. And I'm not talking about just guys with beards and hats on like me. I'm talking about everybody, even if they don't say it publicly. Secretly, they don't want their shows or their stories or their movies fucked with.
Bro, here's the thing. I think, I hate to overuse this word, I do think it's a generational thing, because the Generation Z, which is, I think, like between 1997, I don't know what the other fucking year is, but they're like 20 to 21% of their of Generation Z, they're like LGBTQ, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And bisexual is the most common, like, in that generation, like Z, right? And then check this out. Let me see if I got this. I just saw this right now.
Yeah, just Gen Z is 96 to 2010.
So look at this. 96 to what?
2010.
All right. So here's the LGBTQ percentage. Traditionalists, which is born before 1946, 0.8 is LGBTQ. Baby boomers, 46 to 64, 2.6. Generation X, which is my generation, 4.2. Millennials, born 1981, 1996, 10.5. Generation Z, 20.8.
Must be those chemicals in the water.
And so my point is, as the older population dies out and this younger population is taking over, you're going to see a lot more of this.
Well, they need to
start buying tickets to the movies then. It's kind of like how Elizabeth Banks remade Charlie's Angels and it didn't do well. And her complaint was, well, men won't go see action movies that star a woman, which is wrong because Sigourney Weaver and Alien and so on.
And Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible is... Charlie's Angels had three women. Mission Impossible is Tom Cruise. But what I'm saying is, and it's the same thing Bill Burr said about the WNBA, why aren't women buying tickets then? If it's, why do the men have to pick up? Oh, why aren't the men going to see Charlie's Angels? Well, why aren't the women going to see Charlie's Angels? Why aren't the women attending WNBA games?
You know? Right. That's a Bill Burr. Yeah. Well, you're not, the women are not supporting their own cause.
Right.
But I'm wondering what's going to happen. Yeah. Cause like, but here's a perfect example. Like Atlanta, Georgia, I'm growing up, and so my generation, I had like, you know, when we're clubbing, we're in the social atmosphere, there'd be like, you know, out of all the clubs in Atlanta, about 5% of the clubs were gay bars, which is kind of like the, you know, demographic of what the percentage of the gay population was, which was like, what was it, 4% Conan? Like 4 to 5%. Like, so, right. So what you're going to have now is like all these inclusive, you know, like straight people, gay people, bi people, all like socializing in the same place, right? Which is okay, which is fine. It's like it's going to be a very confusing social atmosphere going forward in the nighttime social scene, you know? Because like I just, you're taking all these things and like you're, I don't know. It's just kind of, it's definitely a change in a very short period of time. Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
Got a new sponsor and it's perfect for this time of year. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg and give you a truly sculpted look. Now, here's the issue. Summertime in Vegas, and especially I'm going back home to Atlanta, right? I can't wear shorts, like regular shorts, you know, because it's too hot, it gets too sweaty. You know, shorts, like typical shorts, like dress shorts are made of like, you know, restrictive cottons, kind of stiff, right? Well, Bird Dogs fits this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like the khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. And it uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long, right? So this is just a perfect product. I have to wear athletic shorts all the time in Vegas because it's so hot. I can't wear the regular shorts. This is the perfect fit. They look like dress shorts. They fit like athletic shorts. They're loose. They're not restrictive. They're perfect.
Here's a great part of it, because we all got a pair, but they have like an inside lining, which makes everything really, really comfortable. And just the material is very comfortable. And on top of that, like their pants, they don't feel really tight and they're really comfortable and they look sweet.
Right, they fit like the comfort of athletic shorts, but they look like dress shorts.
Right.
That would be the best way to put it. And when you order, when you go to birddogs.com, that's birddogs.com/K100, you get a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/K100 for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
There's a great product. Get your shorts and pants on comfortably with a sweet, sweet look to them at Bird Dogs. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
D.I., you wanted to know the difference in the ratings, right?
Since
Logan Paul and Bad Bunny came around, which was February 2021 and April 2021. So the average Raw rating back then was 1.75, and the most recent Raw rating is 1.83, okay? SmackDown's average rating back then was 2.1. The last one, which was down because no Roman, was 2.31. So it looks like they added more rating points for Raw, but yeah.
You know, I mean,
overall, there is growth, yeah.
Absolutely.
And well, about the pay-per-views.
These other factors, but you can't possibly look at that and say, you know, that you can't point at that and say that's not been a success.
Yeah.
It's been a successful decision, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so hey, this is from AEW. Andrew Lee writes about AEW Collision. Hey guys, I'm not exactly sure if you guys touched on the subject and catch some of the clips on YouTube. However, so I know your input on Collision being on Saturday nights. I think it's a horrible day for a weekly wrestling show. They used to say they're not trying to be competition with the other companies, but an alternative putting a weekly show on Saturday basically means you're competing, especially with WWE, Impact, or other small promotions doing pay-per-views on Saturdays. And the fact that most indie shows are always on weekends, they're losing out on a lot of the wrestling fan base and even hardcore wrestling fans. What do you guys think? I'd have to see the number this week because we had the first, there's been four shows that we've had ratings for. We had one, the first show had the number, the second show was lower than that, the third show was lower than that one, but the fourth show was higher than the third one. So I'd like to know what the number is this week, because the number for Rampage was down again. I said that show is going to hurt Rampage more than anything, because Rampage is plummeting now. It's down. Let me see. Joe, look at that number. I think it was like 300-something thousand this week. And the thing is, bro, you're not going to get wrestling fans to watch back to back on Friday and Saturday nights. Those are social nights. Those are nights when you go to dinner because you worked all week. One of the two nights is a date night or a dinner night or a social night. It's like, I don't know why they think that they Friday and Saturday is a successful formula, but that's just me. What do you think, Conan?
Yeah, 310 for Rampage.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah. It's very difficult to get people to go Friday and Saturday night to watch wrestling. Two nights.
Well, why would you do it on a Friday if SmackDown's there? You can't do it on Monday. You can't do it on Tuesday, NXT. You can't do it on Wednesday, Dynamite. You basically have Sunday, Thursday, that's about it, right? And Saturday.
Or you can go head to head. What if they go head to head with Tuesday again against NXT again? But NXT is doing better. NXT is doing better numbers than Collision and Rampage.
Plus, not only that, they smartened up. Remember way back in the day, I said, really? They thought that, you know, Aja, what's her name? Nia Jax.
Right.
Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler were going to pop a rating, and then they sent Charlotte Flair one time, and you know what they're doing now, you know, like Dominic's there and Seth, fucking, you know, Seth was just
Seth
there. That's what you gotta do.
Seth Rollins defending his title against Bron Breakker, one of their top guys.
Right.
And that drew a number. Didn't that draw over a million people when they were in the ring together, Joe?
Sorry, Seth
Rollins and Braun Breaker did over a million.
Yes, it did.
They were together. Yeah, that number was like real high. All right, next is from Will Gaby Gonzalez. The subject is MLW question. Hey, Conan and Disco, I was just asking Joe a question on Facebook Messenger, and why haven't you guys brought in Alex Greenfield? I think that's his name, a.k.a. Greeny.
Right.
When you guys used to work with Kurt Bauer on the podcast, you two seemed to have great chemistry with him talking about movies, sports, and entertainment. Thanks, Conan. That's a Mark Will Gaby, pronounced Will Gaby. Oh, Will okay. Gaby. That's a Will Gaby Gonzalez. He's a Mark. I liked Alex Greenfield. He was a good guest, but we don't take suggestions, though. So.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I think I remember reading that he left, but he was working for MLW for a while with Court.
Yeah, I think he still writes, isn't he?
He writes movies and shit, you know?
Yeah, he's been working for them for a while, though. He was writing movies before that.
Yeah.
And then Court got him to come work for him, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next is from Eric Blanco, and the subject is Rick Rude. Hey, Conan Disco, do you have any more stories on Rick Rude? I know Disco said he really didn't act with Rick. From what I've heard, he was a guy who didn't take crap from anyone. Thanks, advance. Dude, let me explain to you. When you have... We're not going to tell generic stories about Rick Rude because that's too generic a question. You have to ask us specific about something you heard about the guy. But Rude, I didn't really interact with Rude. I thought, but he was, like I said, when I walked in the rest of the locker room for the first time at WCW and I'm walking around shaking hands, I was like, this guy had big, strong hands and big, strong forearms. Like the WCW locker room was a bunch of grown ass men.
Mm-hmm.
With like muscles and strong forearms and hands. And, you know, so that's my Rick Rude story. What about you, Cody? Anything?
Bro, this is how strong Rick Rude was. Well, first of all, when he shook your hand, because, you know, he was kind of, if you looked at him, he looked kind of thin, but he was kind of tall, deceivingly, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, but he had a grip and these forearms like you wouldn't believe. And one time I was hanging out with Kurt Hennig and Rick Rude was like his boy. And so we all went into a bar together. And I hardly don't drink at all, but they were drinking and some fucking jack off kept telling me, oh, let's arm wrestle and all this other bullshit.
Oh,
and Rick goes, you got money? He goes, yeah, of course I got money. And he goes, well, put it on the table. And then the guy goes, well, you don't trust me? And he said, I told you, put it on the table. And Court tells me, Kurt or whatever, he tells me, watch this. If he has to ask him again, he's probably going to knock the guy out. And he goes, last time, put it on the table. The guy kept dicking around. Bro, I'm not kidding, Glenn. I kid you not. Here's the guy's face. This is where Rick Rude was. And it was that short a punch. And he knocked the fucking guy out.
Yeah,
I was like, holy shit. How did he generate that much power? But he had really massive forearms and
big hands
and a hell of a grip. Yeah.
That was always the story among fans and shit, was that Rude could knock you out with an open hand slap. You know, that's the kind of
he's a good arm wrestler too.